I became the head of the Indonesian National Aviation Foundation. I started it up, and now I'm heading it up. So that's all in paper, okay? That's all in paper. I have all these functions or caps in Indonesia, but that's only like the Queen of England. You know, she is just a figurehead, and I'm basically that. So, okay, I'm gonna start the presentation right now. Okay, Indonesia 2014. April and May, we arrived in April, the end of April, and a week after our arrival, we went to Kuala Lumpur. And Kuala Lumpur might be well known to you. That's where that Malaysian Airlines flew out from, and it's even still lost. They haven't found Flight 370 of the Malaysian Airlines. And actually, Sandra and I, we went to Malaysia just to meet with Calvin Tan and his wife. We stayed with them, and we started preparation for the sending of our first Indonesian missionary family to Malaysia. So that's a first ever. First ever Indonesian missionary from our group that has sent a missionary family. I'll show slides of them to Malaysia, and that family will be doing church leadership development and training. I went to Pontianak, and I know you are probably familiar with that name. That's in West Borneo, West Kalimantan. I went there three times, and I went there first for a church conference in a town called, a little village, not a town, village called Nangabaran. Pastor Paul knows that. That's not a picture of Nangabaran. That's a parking lot, actually. Parking lot of canoes up north where we have missionaries up in that region. This is actually the church building where we had our conference. As you can see, this building is approximately, it was built with funds around $30,000, and it has no pews, so everybody sits on the floor. And you can actually accommodate lots more people if they sit on the floor. We won't try that here, right?
Never get up.
Yeah, that's good. That's good for me, just to strengthen my muscles. If I sit on the floor like that, it takes quite a bit to sit on those. Those are tile floors. Oh yeah, you can see that here. These are actually tile floors. So this following slide is a slide of the graduation in May in Manado. Our students, it was a larger group, and you see two pictures of them, the top one and the bottom one, the middle one of myself and my colleagues, my co-workers who are the staff of the school in Manado. This is fellowship time. Just to show you, we have a group of expatriate missionaries there. We have from Germany. We have a couple of German families there right now, and so we have a good time of fellowship every time we meet. It's always, of course, accompanied with food. Sandra has a ministry now. Being part of the Indonesian MK, this Indonesian Missionary Kid committee that takes care of kids from our mission, the kids from our missionaries, the Indonesian kids. And she has a team of four families that are up here. And there's this one family, and that one family on the top left, and and bottom right, these two families, they were trained in the United States also. That person up there is the pilot. He's the pilot family, and Yus actually is the helicopter mechanic. He was trained as a fixed wing mechanic, but right now he's a helicopter mechanic. So God has given him a lot of abilities. So Sandra has that ministry now, coordinating Indonesian MKs. And these are the four Indonesian families that she has been working with. Just some pictures of children. You see some of the kids. These are the kids that are homeschooled. And you see down here are kids that actually go to school. Last year, I showed a slide of children that are from the tribe, the Lauje tribe, that have come down from the mountain, and they are going to school. And this might not be the same group, but the same tribe, the Lauje tribe kids down here, and they come down to the coast, and they live in a dorm type situation. Actually, there is an Indonesian missionary family that takes care of these kids so that they can go to school, and helping them with different things, because some of these tribal kids, they get they get abused, and people make fun of them. And so we have two Indonesian missionary families that take care of them, just to help them with the different things that happen to, that has to do with education. So this is the Lauje kids. In Indonesia, kids, they have to use a uniform. Sandra put up a bridge that's between the island of Java and another island. So it's quite a long bridge. I forget how long it is, but I went through this bridge, and that's part of my ministry, bridging and conflict resolution. And I had quite a bit of that. I can't go into details, but I had quite a bit of that. And I went to this conference. It's a member care conference. It was organized by another mission group, but two of my fellow workers from Manado came down from Manado to Surabaya. Surabaya is a city east of Jakarta, in the eastern part of Java, and I went to this member care conference. This is the family that we sent out to Malaysia. Michael and Wanda Wevengkang are their names. They have three children. Right at this moment, they are in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and they have actually sort of settled in. They went in August, and now it's already October, and the plan is for Michael to be doing church leadership development using New Tribes material, so that they can go and plant churches using the way that New Tribes does, and using the mother tongue to present the gospel. So this is a family that I'm hoping that somehow we possibly could pray for them and support them. But these are good friends of ours, and they are actually doing quite a good job right now adjusting there in Kuala Lumpur. That's a first for them to be living outside of Indonesia. You might remember Michael Paul. We were in his class one time. So Michael and his wife, Wanda. This is a slide of the church in Pontianak. I was asked to speak here on one Sunday, and so there's quite a lot of people that come to this church. This is basically a tribal church that was started in town to accommodate the tribal kids who come out from the interior, and now this church is developing pretty much. And so whenever I go to Pontianak, I get a chance to speak there. In August, I did a few things. Yeah, I went to Pontianak. for a leadership transition time, and then I went to Palu, to the that's in central Sulawesi, for the National Aviation Foundation meeting, and I had some mission property issues there, and I did some teaching also. I actually went to Manado three times this time. It was a miracle that I could do that. I went twice with Sandra, and I went the one time with Calvin Tan for the commissioning service of Michael. This is a picture of Lao Jie that we put on the slides. Picture of 17th of August Independence Day celebrations on campus in Manado, and the whole regency there held their celebrations here on the campus of our school, and we thought that that's a good public relations move, that the people would come and just to see our school, and we actually had a very good turnout, and some people came and started asking about our school and what we do, and because Manado is actually a Christian area, and they really want to know what we are doing there. We're actually training missionaries to go out into the interior. This is a man that I had a special meeting with. He is the leader of Heli Mission. That's an aviation foundation in Indonesia that helps our missionaries with helicopters. You saw some helicopters in that video that we saw in the beginning, and he is a retired general. He's a helicopter pilot himself, and because of my new function, I had to meet him, and that's just a picture of General Situmorang, his name. This is a picture of me and the guys there in Palu with the National Mission Aviation Foundation. And the three Americans, two of them are pilots and one is a mechanic. And Yus is a mechanic, the other guy that I showed in the former slide. And the other guy is our leader here in Palu. And this is the time when the documents were signed and made things official. This lady in the black, she is she's actually a notary public, but she acts like a lawyer here in America. And so her helper, is you see, she's a Muslim lady, and this lady is, she is a Christian, and she asked us to pray that she would bring her helpers who are all Muslims. She has four of these gals, all of them wearing head covers, and she asked us to pray for her ministry there to reach out to these Muslim ladies. I guess that's it. So I have a few more minutes to share from the Word of God. I have. I went to Indonesia with just the thoughts from the book of Ephesians, and I titled this sermon, if you will, God's Agenda. God's Agenda. And from the very beginning, Boslers and us, we've been studying the Ephesians, book of Ephesians, and from the very beginning of the book of Ephesians, we see God, the Almighty God, working even before this world was even created. So Almighty God had set up foundations. You can read that in the first chapter, verse 3. You can see that he has chosen us before the foundations of this creation, before in eternity past, God has been working. God has been planning. And that's how I see that God, our God is a God that has an agenda. Who doesn't have an agenda from us here? Most of us have agendas. Most people from the Western world have agendas. You know, we plan and we set up our list of things that we do, and we do an agenda. God for sure has an agenda. And I see here that God, you know, clearly talks about things that are very clearly written in Ephesians. And I have 8 points, and I'm just going to go very quickly through them, okay? One thing that I believe has been really imprinted in my mind is that God's point in his agenda in the book of Ephesians is that he wants to glorify himself. God's plan and God's agenda is to glorify himself. His plan is, in Philippians it says that every knee will bow to Jesus. And I believe here in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, we see that God's agenda is that he glorifies himself through his triune person, through his creation, through salvation of fallen mankind in his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6 of chapter 1, verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14, we read that God glorifies himself to the praise of his glory. Three times it says there in chapter 1, verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14, to the praise of his glory. I believe that God wants to glorify himself there, clearly shown. Second point, God's agenda shows us that he has made a choice. That's verse 6, that we have been accepted in the Beloved, in Christ. Only in Christ have we been chosen. And those, God's agenda shows us that he has made a choice of those who have chosen and who choose him because they understand that they are sinners and that only in Jesus Christ are they saved. Verse 13 says, I want us to look in the Bible if you want, in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Verse 13 of chapter 1, I believe, is the key to help us really understand God's agenda as far as salvation is concerned. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth. After ye heard the word of truth. Ye trusted, or you trusted Christ after you heard the word of truth, he says. The gospel of your salvation. So people need to understand the gospel. And that's what we as a mission in Indonesia and around the world where we serve as a mission, we want to clearly present the gospel of Christ in the mother tongue of the people that we serve, so that they will clearly understand the gospel. I'll read verse 13 again. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I'm reading from the King James Bible here. I got saved reading the King James Bible in Indonesia a few years ago. And I really like this in the King James. You know, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Here, this is the second time Paul writes, unto the praise of his glory. That we who are saved, we praise God, we give glory to God all the time. I believe that's his wish, that's his will, for us to praise God continuously. And to understand that we are sinners, that the gospel has to be understood, that we accept Jesus, only Jesus, nobody else. No church organization, no other religion, no Muslim religion, no, for sure not. I come from the largest Muslim country in the world. And there we don't go to the Muslims, but we go to the people that have never heard the gospel. We go to the tribal people that you have seen on the video there. But only in Christ are you saved. Point three, God's agenda is that salvation is by grace and by grace only. So grace has always been the way of salvation. We have that saying, sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, solo Christo, and soli Deo gloria. Those five soli, it's in Latin. So five only, so only by grace, only by justification, only through the scriptures, you know, only through the Bible, nothing else, through Christ, and just for the glory of God. So that's Ephesians 2:8-9. We read that so often. So that's God's agenda, that salvation is only by grace. God's agenda is salvation through his chosen people to the whole Gentile world, for he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles. So God's agenda is salvation through the Jews. Jesus was a Jew. And God's agenda was that he broke down all the partition. We were made one. The Gentiles, I'm a Gentile, and most of you are Gentiles, I believe. And we have been united by Christ, and that's been that is God's agenda. Ephesians 2:14-22. Point five: God's agenda is the exposition of his mystery that was hidden from the beginning of the ages through Paul of Tarsus the apostle, that God through his church, Christ's body consisting of Jews and Gentiles, would be the vehicle through which God would enact his plan of salvation. Ephesians 3:21. I spoke in interior of West Borneo. I mentioned to them the gospel, and I brought out Paul's gospel, and that kind of threw them a little bit, because they're saying, "Yeah, it's Jesus' gospel." I said, yeah, it's Jesus' gospel, but the New Testament clearly shows us that Paul's gospel is the key to our understanding, because Paul was the one who was given the mystery. God chose Paul. God's agenda was for Paul to open up the mystery that was hidden for ages, it says. And that mystery is the salvation of Jews and Gentiles. Mainly the Gentiles, because the Jews had rejected Christ, but the plan of God, the agenda of God, was to use the church, the body of Christ, to save people. And God uses the body of Christ to reach out to the world. Six, God's agenda is to show his greatness in this mystery. That is to show the relationship of Christ and believers as the head and the body, the cornerstone and the temple of God, and the groom and his bride. It's all in Ephesians, actually, Ephesians 1:22, Ephesians 2:21, and as far as the picture of the groom and his bride, we can see that in Ephesians chapter 5:32. Point 7, God's agenda is for us, the ungifted saints, to be united, to practice our faith, knowing our privileged position in Christ, that Christian marriages would be used to glorify God and in practice portray the relationship of Christ and his bride, the church. That's God's agenda. And point 8, God's agenda is for us to realize that this is Satan's world and that we are in a spiritual battle as we claim lives from the clutches of the devil. Ephesians 4:27, Ephesians 6:10 through 17. We don't claim this land or this world of the devil, but we claim lives. Some Christians claim areas for Christ. That is completely wrong. They should claim lives. That's why they should go with the gospel. And we, this world is, we know, it's the devil's work. And we are having to clutch people's lives out of this devil's world because people are in the clutches of the devil. Therefore, we need to be continually in the Word and not be bored with it. Can you be bored with the Word of God? You know, I have to admit, sometimes I don't get anything when I read the Word of God. Sometimes, it's not that I'm bored, but sometimes I read the Word of God and nothing comes in. But we have to continually read, we have to be continually in the Word, and that's the Bible tells us to do that. God wants us to be practicing our faith and preaching the gospel. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Ephesians of the church in general, the church being the body of Christ, okay? The Apostle Paul is not talking in Ephesians about a local church. He's talking about church, the body of Christ in general. He's not talking like he wrote to the Philippians. That was a church. He wrote to the Thessalonians. That was a church, a local church. He wrote to the Corinthians. That was a local church. In Ephesians, he talks about the church in general and the knowledge that we as believers need to really realize our position in Christ. And therefore, we need to practice our faith after we really know the Word of God and understand our position in Christ. Ephesians talks about the universal church. You know, the universal church doesn't send out missionaries, right? The universal church doesn't build schools. The universal church doesn't help in mass evacuations or typhoon type of disasters in the Philippines. But the local church doesn't. And I believe that the book of Ephesians challenges us as a local church to continue to bring the gospel. Not to be sidetracked. We need to be careful because we can easily be sidetracked because we don't bring the gospel. We really need to make sure that whatever we do, we need to have people come to know Christ as their Savior and to know Christ and to be anchored in Him and to be mature. And that's the picture that God gives us through the book of Ephesians. That's the picture that God's agenda shows us in the book of Ephesians, I believe. We need to spread the gospel and make it our priority. I believe that God's agenda continues to be to reach out to the world, whether it be in the USA or the ends of the earth. We can easily miss the mark and do other good things that pertain to the gospel spreading. I thank God that Grace Bible Church is a mission-minded and mission-hearted church. And I thank God for our pastors and just the fact that we as I have that privilege to be part of the leadership board here, and I'm thankful that our church, our leadership, and our members continue to prioritize the gospel. I trust that this will continually be our emphasis, the spreading of the gospel. That God would use this local church, that we understand that the universal church is the plan of God, is the agenda of God to reach out to the unbelievers in the whole world. And God wants us eventually to be united with Christ, to be together with Christ as his bride, to be one with him. That's in the eternity future. And that will come. But, you know, one thing that I saw here in this, in my own studies, is that, you know, Ephesians talks about this principle, now but not yet. Now but not yet. You know, we, in King James uses the word heavenlies. We are in the heavenlies. You know, in Philippians it says we are, how does Philippians say? We are inhabitants of heaven. I forget.
Citizens.
We are citizens of heaven. Yes. Now, we are already citizens of heaven, but not yet. Right? So that principle of now, but not yet. Because there's so many positional truths that are true for us, that are fact for us, but it has not come yet. It has not been realized yet, but it will be realized. And that's part of God's agenda too, that all these things that the word not yet will become a fact for us in the future. With that, thank you again for this time, Pastor Paul. I'll hand the floor to you now. Thank you.